David Jameson, and you are have a new role on top of your show now.
Yes.
You're the president of the board of directors for the Brain Care Center. Why you? Why not? Well, I think you're a good choice. Well, that's a compliment.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah. No, it's great. And it's something that I've just undertaken. And I've been a board member for 1 year exactly. And the opportunity came up and they were looking to make a change. And the current president of the board of directors, it's a volunteer position. So despite what, I'm not leaving TSN 1260 by any stretch unless there's something I don't know.
Yeah, right.
So it's a volunteer thing, and it's something, brain care, brain injury is something I've been around because in my other life I worked in professional football with the Edmonton Eskimos. And so, you know, the nature of that game, you're around a lot of people that are, have either suffered concussions through athletic, you know, through their sport, but brain injury encompasses so much, Jason. You know, 75% of the cases that we work with in our organization come from someone may have slipped at a workplace. They may have gone up a ladder to do some work around the home. They've fallen. Now their life has changed. And brain injury, because of the nature of it, you will look as you did, but you're a different person, right? Because it affects you in your cognition, your appetite, your ability to sleep, concentrate, to live. It's all largely coming out of your brain function. And so when you suffer a traumatic brain injury, your life has changed. And to the outsider, they may be a medical professional, and certainly your loved ones, people that are in your world on a daily basis, they don't know how they can help you, right? A broken arm, I know what to do. Or, you know, we sure can isolate it and get it cared for properly. But a brain, because it's such a complicated piece of the human machinery, requires different things, and it requires a level of expertise in terms of the care. And so we help both the individuals affected by brain injury, but also the people who are who've also had their lives affected, because if a father or mother has a brain injury, that affects the entire family, right? Because there may be loss of employment, there's going to be a change in behavior, there's going to be a change in a lot of the things that they can do. So what the Brain Care Center does on a daily basis with our tremendous staff is we provide those services, you know, for someone who's, however they've arrived at it. We also do a lot of the baseline testing for sports teams in high schools and community programs here in Edmonton. So there's a layer to that as well. But again, I got involved. We have one former Edmonton Eskimo player, actually two, Graham Bell being one of them, Bob Clark the other, and I'm an Eskimo alumni member. And so they introduced me to this great organization a year ago, and it's I'm thrilled to be, you know, now taking on this role of president.
Well, with Graham Bell there, I'm assuming there's no height restrictions then.
Not a tall man.
He's not a very large man.
Well, you know,
tall at least.
No, not very tall, but yeah. A diminutive running back, we always used to say. But his story around a brain injury is a remarkable one, right? Because it's less about football and more about what happened in a traumatic incident.
Yeah. No, so when you and we're joined by David Jameson talking about his new role as president of the board of directors, it means he's still going to be here every once. So you can still hear him every day from 12 till 2. You know, he touched on a little bit, but, you know, the problem is we don't really know what the problem is till there's a problem. And you can't see head trauma. At least most of the time you can't see it. So, you know, what is your, you've been around for a little bit. Mm-hmm. What is your advice to people who maybe are thinking, you know what? I am a little bit off, or I recognize my wife or son or daughter or husband is a little bit off.
Well,
you know, what is that advice you offer?
I mean, there are a number of steps you can be taking, and I certainly, you know, I'm not obviously a medical professional, but you need to obviously get to medical care immediately. Mm-hmm. At that time, either the individual, again, not knowing the nature of the injury, but let's say, you know, and I play men's hockey on the weekend, and we had one of our teammates a couple of years ago suffer a very severe concussion. Their head hit the dasherboard, they were out in midair, and then the head hits the ice. And with the proper head care, but out in midair, and you can imagine the head bouncing off the ice and all that sort of thing. Now, he's never returned to play, and at our age, that's probably the best move. But you, at the time, and this is, I think, 3 years ago now, I know as one of the people on the ice at the time, we knew almost nothing about how to handle someone in that condition, what we should do. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of education around Brain Care Center here in Edmonton. We provide a lot of that, but certainly if you have a son or daughter, you are taking part in sports. I mean, one of the first things is seek medical attention immediately. Don't pass it off as it's just a headache, because often the wrong diagnosis early is when, you know, you've missed something or you've done something that actually works against recovery.
Right.
And that's the thing. And, you know, one of the things, Jason, and hockey is so much better now than, you know, I'm sure when you were playing, but when Sidney Crosby goes away, suffers a concussion, and he took a long time away from the game. Mm-hmm. We remember that. But people will see athletes coming back in 3 weeks or, you know, in a fairly short span of time. That's good on one level, but they're getting the best level of care you can receive. Mm-hmm. And they are also the best conditioned, you know, let's use hockey. Yeah. They're the best in the world. Mm-hmm. So they're not like me going up a ladder and falling.
Right.
My recovery is going to be different, and all the sort of protocols and support around me would look different, but medical attention immediately. And then get to, as quickly as possible, into, if it requires longer term care, into something like the Brain Care Center and into the system so that you can get the necessary support. Like, I met a young woman not that long ago who had been hit in the head by her own surfboard. She'd been surfing in Mexico, California, wherever, and the board kicked back and hit her in the head. She had to be medevaced out of the water. And, you know, she eventually flew back to Edmonton and was the medical people who were looking at her initially, they didn't even quite know where she should go, right? Mm-hmm. Because as you're describing your symptoms, they're like, well, maybe try this, maybe try that. And that's not saying anyone's negligent. That's not the case.
Yeah.
But there's still so much to learn about brain injury.
Mm-hmm. And I hope that you're able to accomplish a lot and get people some help when need it. David Jameson joins us. You hear him every day here on the David Jameson Show between 12 and 2. David, your background is a long time in the media world, mm-hmm. and also in public relations for teams. Mm-hmm. Why does Kobe Bryant resonate? Did the passing of Kobe resonate seemingly across all different areas? Because I called my parents today, and my mom said, "Did you know Kobe Bryant passed away?" I don't believe my mom watched maybe more than a commercial of Kobe Bryant playing ball. So why does he resonate so much with so many different people at different spectrums of the world?
Okay, it's a great question, and I think your mom is not alone in that. He was a superstar, but there's lots of superstars, but he was a superstar in Los Angeles, okay, mm-hmm. for an organization that there are lots of NBA teams, Jason, as you know, but there are very few, well, there are only one, LA Lakers. There are lots of baseball teams. There's only one New York Yankees.
Yeah.
He played, was the greatest player on a team that stands alone in that sport, but that sport is also global. Mm-hmm. The NBA is not just North America. It's not just a regional thing. So to draw comparisons again to sports, hockey is played internationally, but it's still limited in its scope.
Sure.
It really is.
Yep.
So Kobe Bryant was, you know, born in Italy, spoke Spanish, Italian, other languages as well. He was marketed globally. So, you know, there's that sort of cultural icon, but then you have the athlete, and what you're seeing, like, I watched the Aussie Open. I'm a tennis fan. And so I'm watching Novak Djokovic on set talking about his relationship with Kobe Bryant. Well, Novak Djokovic is one of the top three tennis players mm-hmm. in the world, a global sports icon. Mm-hmm. And so he relates to Kobe Bryant, not as a fan, but as a peer. But as he's saying, Kobe Bryant was my mentor. Because of the way Kobe Bryant competed, you know, the Mamba mentality, or call it what you will, other athletes can recognize excellence. You know, I've often said to you, because of the level and the height you played in the NHL, you know the good, you know the great, and you know the guys that are hanging on, right? Yeah. I mean, you just know. And you know what separates good from great and the great from the guys that are truly alone. So I think that there's an acknowledgement of transcendence and excellence in the sporting world when they go, you know, I may be good at what I do, but that guy inspired me in ways to, you know, the way I wore my shorts and what shoes I bought, all of that stuff that over 20 years of doing what Kobe Bryant did. I mean, that's hard to replicate. That's hard for other people to compare. And so I would just say it's a global significance. It's athletic excellence. Mm-hmm. It's a determination, a flawed person. Like, I'm not sitting here, you know, not acknowledging that he was not perfect. Not many of us are, but I will say that, you know, on the yesterday and today and the days that will follow, people are going, wow, he left a footprint and an imprint on sports and to, you know, I guess a lesser degree culture in North America and globally, certainly in the basketball sense.
Yeah, I love the way he phrased that because I believe he left a template for excellence. Now, yeah, you've got to have some skill, but I think that, what everyone has a friend who's extremely or has skill at something. Mm-hmm. But then why do they not excel at that skill? Whether it's pottery, singing, whatever, running a bake sale, whatever it is, why do some people separate themselves? And that's something I'm fascinated. It's a whole different discussion. But with Kobe, I use the term, he was relentless in his pursuit of improvement.
Yes.
And I think it's four pretty simple words, but if you can do that in anything, you're going to have success.
Well, I go back to your example. You know what it takes to play hockey at the highest level in the world,
right?
Okay? And so you have seen and played alongside guys that were, talented, okay? You're all talented to get to that point. But then the separation occurs where the guy who comes in, if you've got to be in dressing room at 9, you're at 8:55, he's been there at 7.
Right.
Or 6 or 5. Yeah. And then the guy that, hey, are you coming out? No, I'm going to go look at film. Well, that's how it is. They're often not easy to work with. They're not often easy to be around. They don't care that they're not easy because they only care about being the best at their craft. And Kobe Bryant, I was watching several interviews. He called it a craft, not a game, not a sport. He loved, he said, I love the game. Yeah. Okay. The craft.
Yeah. No, he was amazing. Now, David Jameson joining us, just a couple more minutes. JMO, at times it feels like I'm going to take on, about half the programming on this station as I walk into the ring for Hot Takes 8:45 Thursday morning.
Okay.
Strudwick versus for sure the morning show.
Yes.
Eric and Dusty.
Sure.
The 6 o'clockers have texted me repeatedly saying they're not cheering for me. And that's fine. I love the 6 o'clockers. You know that?
That's fine.
I love the 8 o'clockers better than I like the 6 o'clockers, but let's not pick a fight now.
No.
So is there any advice? You've been in that ring before.
I have.
In that, I guess that
cauldron. You know what it is?
It's
Chicago Stadium. It's Boston Garden, and it's the Spectrum all rolled into one.
And so 8:45 Thursday, I'm going in there, and I don't know the judge, Flink, Pinterest, whatever his name is. I'm a little bit worried about him. Any advice you can offer me as I go into my first battle against two decent opponents for Hot Takes?
Okay. Now you fought a lot.
True. Some angry youth.
Well, sure. Okay. Try to score with your first punch. Now you have to do 5 first punches, but treat each hot take as the punch.
Okay.
Now I know you didn't knock everybody out, but you tried to stun them or hurt them with the punch, correct?
Yeah.
Right.
You
get in because, you don't want to see what they're going to come back with. And if you can get in early and dictate the tone, try to dictate the tone. Make sure your first hot take is very good, but not your best.
Okay.
Because, and I'm not going to say pace because you only got 5. You got to go here. It's a sprint, not a marathon. But make sure that fist of yours is balled up for all 5 takes. And I'm not kidding you here.
Okay.
Shorter, the better. And if you've got to think too hard about it, it's not a hot take because no one will get it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I do. Good advice. I have many options I've written down. I'm not sure. I've got to carve those down over the week.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for it.
And can I, one other thing?
Yes.
Take a tough audience, test drive some of your takes.
Test drive
some takes and see if you get the raised eyebrow or you get a chuckle or you go, ooh, the one where you goes, ooh, that's usually a good take.
All right. Well, I hope it works out.
Well,
8:45 Thursday morning.
I wish you the best. I don't want to carry the, I'm not like Kobe.
Okay.
I don't have the Mamba mentality to carry the mitt forever. So I'm happy to hand it over.
All right. Well, thank you, David. Back
you
at it tomorrow at 12 to 2.
Will do.
Start getting us ready for the rest of the week. Thank you for this, and good luck in your role as the president of the Board of Directors of the Brain Care Center.
Thanks, Fred.